got a message this morning called Prayer is the Deciding Factor, and we're going to go over these verses, Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. You can follow along in your Bible, or we'll put the verses up overhead. And year 12 of Humble has started, and we'll be back tonight. Tonight we'll be humbling ourselves. Those who want to come in person, as Frankie said, we'll all be in here. It's the only way we could figure out a way to do it. We'll have masks on for worship. At 7:30, if we stay as a big group and you want to pray without masks, go down to the prayer chapel. And then those who know, mask is important to me, stay in here with us. Or we might go to small groups, and all the groups in the church will be this bigger building, and downstairs will be with masks on. So tonight we'll be humbling ourselves. Tonight we'll be, bringing prayers of repentance to the Lord, crying out to the Lord for help. So we hope you'll come tonight. As we go to this section of Scripture, five times we read that the devil and his angels are, you're going to see that as we go through it. Look at that. Five, they changed it because in the first service, devil was capitalized. And I was like, I hate that. I never want to capitalize devil. Thank you. You guys are awesome back there. But we never capitalize his name. The devil and his angels, we always capitalize God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Okay, enough. Five times, devil and his angels, what I want you to see are against. They are opposed to the people of God. Two times, Paul instructs us to put on the whole armor of God or to take up the whole armor of God. Why? Why do we need to have this spiritual armor on? And the answer would be that the Christian life is not a playground. It's much more categorized in Scripture as a battleground. And so that's what Paul is bringing attention to, the battle that we're in as Christians. And Paul was imprisoned in Rome and at times chained to a Roman soldier. And Paul became, these are the prison epistles. Ephesians is a prison epistle from Rome. And Paul became very familiar with the Roman soldier's armor. And can you imagine Paul, being in prison? And don't you know that the devil wanted Paul stopped? Don't you know the devil wanted Paul locked up? No more missionary journeys, no more church plants. Don't you know the devil wanted Paul silenced? No doubt. And here Paul is in prison, no doubt, just like you must have been thinking, God, where are you? Why? How many of us ask that question? Why? I mean, why am I in prison? And have you forgotten me? Have you forsaken me? Are you done with me? Did I do something and now you're done with me? And you know, I think no doubt it was Satan who wanted Paul locked up and shut up and silenced, just like he wants you locked up and shut up and silenced. But you know who God is? He's a God who even works what Satan meant for evil for good. And here Paul is chained to the soldier, and the Lord's like, we'll use this. And Paul, just by the Spirit, becomes inspired to understand the Christian's armor. And here Paul is locked up in prison, and Satan thinks he's won, and Paul just starts writing letters. Letters, you know, letters that would become the Bible. Letters that God would turn for good to reach every generation that would ever live on the planet. That's who God is. A lot of times it's the devil attacking us, but it's such a comfort to know that God is always working things for good. And here Paul is, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write to us about the Christian soldier's armor. So the whole armor of God is the Christian soldier's protection against the devil and his angels. And this armor not only allows us to withstand the evil, but it also allows us, and I think in a lot of ways this week is not about just withstanding. We've been withstanding. This week is a lot about advancing, taking ground, right? Knowing who we are. It's one thing to know truth. It's another thing to stand in that authority and leverage it and believe it. And that's what we're going to do this week as we enter into this week of fasting and prayer. So the first verse, Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." He's Almighty God. He's the most powerful being. And the Lord wants to strengthen his people. And don't you know, don't you believe it in your soul that God wants to strengthen us this week? I mean, I can sense it. We have been so beat down and stripped and depleted. This is a week that God is gonna strengthen us. And I just feel especially sensitive to those that you're still undecided. You know, I'm busy. Am I going to? I'm probably not going to come. I don't know if it's for me. You know, it sounds good. I'm glad we're doing it. But I'm not really, I mean, I can do the Sunday thing. I'm not really planning on coming back twice in one day. And you know what I'd say to you? I would say to you what Jesus said about prayer. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your spirit knows this is going to be an incredible time of strengthening, but your flesh is weak. You know, we're just like, oh, two times. I just need to kick it. I just need to relax. This is a rest day. I beg you, if you're not planning on coming, just come one night or just come one morning and ask for the instructions from there. Just once, please don't come to this church. If you're listening online, please don't not engage in one prayer meeting. So many years now, you just go to one and then, okay, Lord, is this all you had for me? And he'll show you. He'll speak to you. And as long as your spirit is willing, he'll show you what the week looks like just for you. But he's going to strengthen us. And let's be praying that God strengthens us. And verse 11, the next verse, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand," and here's the first of the five times, "against the wiles of the devil." Right? Five times we'll read that the devil is against us. And we don't use that word wiles. As I put there, it means trickery. He's a deceiver, isn't he? He deceives us. He's strategizing. He's scheming. The Bible says Paul said we're not to be ignorant of his devices, right? We understand he's against marriage. He's against children. He's against the most weak of all children, unborn babies. He's against, churches. And so the word wiles speaks of, and church leaders, and it speaks of an animal stalking its prey and strategically just waiting for the opportunity to pounce on its victim. That's who the devil is. That's the devil exposed. And so we read verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities," against rankings of demons, against powers. Here it is, against, all five times, "against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places," right? So Lucifer was once an archangel, a high-ranking spiritual being that fell from God. And the Bible says when he fell from Lucifer, he became the devil, he became Satan. He became the dragon. He became the serpent of old. He became the deceiver who deceives the whole world. And he drew a third of the angels with him that are demonic beings today. And as we pull our verse back up, verse 12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our wrestle really isn't with people. Although that's the enemy's tactic, to get us wrestling against each other. And you know, if you've ever wrestled or you know anything about wrestling, wrestling is exhausting. And that's just what the enemy wants, to get us wrestling against one another to the point that we're just exhausted and no good. But our wrestle, Paul enlightens us to understand, is really against principalities. That's not a word we use very often, but it's a biblical word that means these rankings of demonic beings. Spiritual warfare is exhausting. This week we're entering into spiritual warfare. We will feel the wind against us. All hell is going to try to stop you from praying this week. All hell is going to try to keep you from uniting with the people of God, because prayer is the deciding factor in the battle. We're going to see that. We're going to study it. You'll see it this morning as we go through it. And so, even last week we were talking about Daniel. And from the minute Daniel began to fast and pray, Daniel 10, from the minute he started to pray, his voice was heard, but a battle began in the heavenlies. And the angel of God was detained for 21 days fighting this demonic being until finally he came to Daniel. And we're given all that insight. From the minute that we start to pray this morning, God's beginning to move. We don't see it. Angels are being dispersed. We're not aware of it, but there's a battle going on that we're entering into. And so Paul, and pulls back the veil and helps us. Don't be exhausted wrestling against one another. These are spiritual battles. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, then Paul says it a third time, stand. What do you think Paul's telling us to do? Man, you've got to stand your ground. Having done all you can do, just plant your feet in and hold your position. The enemy's wanting to knock you over. He's wanting to shut you up. He's wanting to silence you. He's wanting to stop you. But in Jesus' name, you can be immovable. You can stand strong. And Paul here speaks of this evil day. Right? As Christians, we all experience evil days. We discern it. We discern, you know what? This is evil. What's coming against me, or what's coming against our marriage, or what's coming against our child, this is evil. What's marching in Portland, you look at you, that's evil. What's happening in our nation, we're all discerning it. We're all aware. There's something evil going on right now. And now's the time for us to pray. Now's the time for us to fight in prayer, like we're going to learn about today. Evil. I think never has there been a time that I've sensed more evil against the churches. Man, there is just an evil agenda right now to shut churches, to stop churches, to, just to come against the people of God. Never have I seen the church so polarized. Never have I seen the church so divided. It's a time like no other. As I talk to pastors around the nation, pastors are just exhausted. As the people are just polarizing, and it's a damned if I do and damned if I don't environment in the churches. Never have I talked to so many churches that the pastors are close to quitting. It's just an evil time for churches. And this is a time for us to stand together. And I love when you study the Roman history, there's the tortoise formation. Which, like you might picture the tortoise's shell, the turtle's shell. It's a Roman formation where they would all lock their shields together in front, on each side, behind, and on top. And they would create that tortoise formation. It's such a powerful picture of the people of God coming together and saying, enough. Enough. We're going to fight. We're going to withstand this. And so, as we read on here in verse 14, Paul says, stand therefore with the belt, the NIV says, the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And so at the very center of the whole armor of God is truth. It's a belt of truth. Right at the very center of the whole armor of God is truthfulness with God. Truthfulness with others. This is so powerful. When we are truthful with God, when we're living in the light, and don't you know that that's what God wants this week to be, right? We're just, God, we're in the light. I want to be truthful with you. Nothing's off limits, right? And I want to be truthful with others. The opposite of having this type of armor would be that you're living a lie, right? You're being a phony. And it's just a great week to go, God, I don't want to be an imposter. I don't want to be a phony. I don't want to be living a lie before you. I don't want to be living a lie before others. It's so powerful when there's truth at the center of our lives. And not only does he say to stand with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, but having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So as Paul's thinking about all these things, he's thinking about the Roman soldier's belt. Now he's thinking about the Roman soldier's breastplate. And the purpose of the breastplate was to protect the heart of the soldier, to protect the lungs, to protect the vital organs, right, of the soldier in combat. The breastplate. It's a breastplate of righteousness. And understand that our enemy, our adversary, is against us. He's against you. And there's nothing he loves to attack more than your righteousness. There's nothing he loves to attack more than the finished work of the cross. Right? There's nothing he enjoys more than trying to nullify the work of the cross. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's constantly challenging our righteousness. Through faith in Christ, right at the very heart of our being, we're righteous with God because of Christ. At the very heart of our being, our lungs are just breathing deep in God's presence because we've been made righteous to come into his presence. Right? We're alive. We have vitality and life. That's at the core of our being because of your faith in Christ has made you righteous. But man, does the enemy attack that. There's nothing he'd like to do more than nullify that finished work of the cross. So he's the accuser of the brethren. And he's constantly accusing you that you're not a very good member of this church. You're not a very good husband. You're not a very good wife. You're not very good parents. You're not a very good grandparent. You're not a very good pastor. You should just quit. You should just stop. You should just give up. You should just go away. It's a constant attack against the believer. And so Paul is talking about this breastplate that we got to fight off all those accusations. No, those are lies. So it's a breastplate of righteousness that Paul talks about. And I have to say my great challenge here is, can I give a 40-minute message or is it going to be a two-hour message? Because I've actually taught on every one of these pieces and it's a Sunday for each piece. But today it's just, okay, this is the Reader's Digest version of the Cliff Notes or the whatever you want to call it. Okay, so let's just keep going through it. And so next Paul says, verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation, or some Bibles translate it, the readiness of the gospel. Right? The Christian soldier is so powerful, truthful with God and others, righteous before God. And our feet are, we read here in verse 15, shod with preparation, or we're always ready to help others make peace with God. We live our lives like that. We're always interacting with people. We're always alive to helping others put faith in Jesus. We're always giving others opportunity to come to Christ. And don't you know, I mean, isn't the veil pulled back right now? Isn't there a tremendous battle that goes on over us to keep us silent? We're so powerful, we don't realize it. The gospel is so powerful, but the enemy just, they don't want to hear it. That now, this is the most effective tool the enemy has. This isn't the right time. It's always the right time to talk to people about coming to Christ. Every time you hear it's not the right time, just know it is the right time. Every time you hear they don't want to hear it, they need to hear it. That's why you're there. Right? I mean, so powerful. If the church was ready everywhere we go, And what a convicting question is, how many people in 2020 did you ask if they want to come to Christ? Because if you ask nobody, nobody ever comes. You start asking people, you know what you're going to find? People are going to start going, I want that. You'll start bringing people by the gospel to peace with God. And verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So, you know, this is our lot in life, man. Satan is wicked. And he's coming against us. Right? Just attack, darts just flying at us. If our shield is hanging to the side, I mean, we're just going to be a porcupine. Right? And it's interesting the way it can be translated. It could be translated, the NIV translates it, and maybe it bears witness to you. Sometimes they're flaming arrows. Sometimes they're flaming spears. It could be translated flaming javelins. A New American translates it sometimes it's a heat-seeking missile that you've attracted the attention of as a house church shepherd or as an elder or a leader or whatever it might be. And so as Christians, we're in a battle. And we have to take up our shield, and Paul connects it with faith. The shield of faith is a faith that looks to God. It's a faith that looks beyond our circumstances, right? My faith. It's beyond my circumstances. It's a faith that looks beyond what we feel. Our feelings betray us. I feel like God doesn't love me. I feel like he's forsaken me. I feel like he's mad at me. I'm in this prison. The shield of faith trusts God, even when we don't feel his presence or see how it's working out. It's a faith that believes God. It's a faith that trusts God. It's a faith that knows God. I don't know if you know the phrase father filtered, but I live with that every day of my life, that God, if you're letting it touch me, whether you're the source or the devil is the source or this fallen world or an evil person, whatever it is, if you're letting it touch me, I have faith that you have a purpose for it. And I trust you. And so Paul talks about this shield of faith. And then he says, verse 17, and the helmet of salvation. And then the sword of the Spirit. But first, the helmet of salvation. So the helmet speaks of protecting our mind. Right? When we get saved, the battle instantly begins in our mind. And it's not a sin to think thoughts. I mean, I have the most wicked thoughts come into my head like you do. Most lustful thoughts, evil thoughts. It's a sin when you give place to them and you dwell on them instead of rebuking them, instead of dismissing them. And immediately we enter into this battle that's going on in our minds, all of this attack going on in our minds. The accuser of the brethren just relentlessly firing at us. Sometimes I'll leave the church and I'll be backstage or in the car and I'll just be thinking, gosh, I think that was the worst message I've ever given. Man, what a flop. What a disaster. I don't even know if I could ever preach again. And you know, these thoughts, I'll give you two questions that the Lord's given me that has just silenced this type of warfare. One question that you need to learn to ask yourself is, who's telling me this? I tell you what, that's a question that will expose the devil instantly. Ask God. God, who's telling me this? Is that you? Are you telling me that was a flop? Are you telling me that miserable? Are you telling me that I may never be able to preach again? No. That's the devil. I'm being attacked. I've only taken 25 steps and I'm being, just flattened till I ask the question, who's telling me this? Another great question you should have in your arsenal is, and ask God, what's the truth? Well, the truth, Rob, you gave exactly what I gave you. The truth, Rob, is that's my word, and it doesn't come back void, but I'm going to accomplish what I sent it forth to accomplish. The truth, Rob, is it's not how you feel. My word accomplishes what I intended to accomplish, whether you feel it or not. The truth, Rob, you're called, and you're a bondservant, and you submitted to me, so you will preach the rest of your life, because this is what I'm asking you to do. I mean, it's amazing how God just will fill that void with truth. But boy, is there a battle. Have you ever had the battle going on in your mind? And the devil, just a liar, just as much as you'll believe, it's like a nuclear cloud. It just starts exploding, and you start believing it. It's worse and worse and worse. Just, he wants you to fear the worst. It's not the truth. It's a battle. It's a helmet of salvation we need to put on. And God, what? Who's telling me this? What do you say? What's the truth? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So this Roman soldier, the feared Roman sword, the two-edged Roman sword that was so powerful in the hand of the Roman soldier. It's interesting. Paul says that's the Word of God in our lives. Man, when we wield the Word of God, Paul says it's like a two-edged sword. When we share it, we're not aware of how powerful it is. It cuts people to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. You know, even people that come to church here that don't even believe in the Bible, people that listen online that you don't even believe in the Bible, but when the Bible is spoken, it cuts. It touches people at the very center of what's really going on. It leaves us exposed to God and spoken to by God and convicted by God. It's called the sword of the Spirit. So the Word of God, the preaching, the sharing, the telling of the Word of God to others is connected to the Spirit of God moving. They're connected. The moving of the Spirit and the Word of God. And so Paul focuses in on, that was real, I'm rejoicing, like, I did the sword of the Spirit, and I think 2 or 3 minutes, like, that's 20 minutes, so we're doing good here, we're on time. Paul focuses in on 6 pieces of Roman armor, right? As he's observing the Roman soldier, there's a belt. Paul connected that with truth. There's a breastplate, or righteousness in Christ. There's sandals. The Roman sandals, you're always ready. Shield, faith. Helmet, salvation from the day we get saved. Sword of the Spirit, it's the Word of God. And then Paul adds a 7th piece of armor for the Christian soldier. 7, the number of perfection. 7, the number of completeness. And that 7th piece of armor for the Christian soldier that makes us complete. It's the whole armor. It's not whole until we're praying. And so the Christian soldier is marked by these things. It's so, so powerful, even to write them down. The Christian soldier is marked by truth. It's just so powerful who a Christian is. We're truthful with God. We're truthful with others. We're righteous in Christ. The gospel's always on our lips. Our eyes are on God. Our faith is in Him. We're saved. The Word of God is in our hand. We're wielding it. We pray. Isn't it just powerful just to even see those things up there? That is so powerful when we have this armor on and we're living in this world, equipped with the Word of God and prayer. Right? We can withstand any onslaught. We can take any ground. The gates of hell can't stand against us. But so few Christians know they have that authority. So a lot of Christians believe things, but they never really in prayer wield the sword. They really never pray with authority that they actually believe what they're saying and knowing that the enemy must yield. Right? That he's a defeated foe. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. It's not fleshly weapons. But our weapons are so mighty in God. And We're able to pull down strongholds, not just withstand. We're able to go after evil and destroy it and pull it down in prayer. I understand, I was saying it a minute ago, when we pray in the name of Jesus and we're standing on the word of God, the devil and all of his rankings of demons must yield. They must. That's Colossians 2:15. They're defeated at the cross. They were made a public spectacle of. So when you come in that name and you come in that victory, and Satan is a stubborn foe. Daniel started praying, this battle started. 21 days it took for the angel to come. He's stubborn, but he must yield. The angel did come. Right? It's so powerful to know who we are. And listen to what John Bunyan said. Many of us know 1600s, probably one of the greatest literary works of all time. One of them, for sure, Pilgrim's Progress. And listen to what Pastor John Bunyan said. He said, "Prayer is our supreme weapon. It's when the armor becomes the whole armor when we start praying." Listen to William Cowper, and actually, it's just easier to say Cowper. His name's pronounced Cooper, from the 1800s, a great Christian leader that made a tremendous mark on his day and age. His comment, he sums all this up by saying, "Satan trembles when he sees the weakest of saints upon his knees." You know, it is going to be an attack against you not to come at some point this week, because you're just going to think, "I'm too weak. I'm just weak. I'm just tired. I just don't have the energy to go." I think that's what Satan fears the most, that in weakness, you'd fight through that and you'd get to your knees. You know, my whole life, I wish I could lead with tremendous strength. Like, "Come on, I'm strong, let's go." That's not where the strength is. The strength is when we are so weak, we can barely pray as a husband and wife. We can barely utter the words. We can barely get there. That's what Satan fears. It is a word of God. All hell is going to fight you from praying this week. It's a time to link shields. It's a time to withstand. It's a time that we need to fight back in prayer and take ground. Here's the name of our message. Prayer is the deciding factor for the Christian soldier. Right? It is the deciding factor. Let me paint a picture that might help you understand what I'm talking about. If there are two men fighting, hand-to-hand combat, and one of those men pulls out a knife and starts to wield that knife at the other, that other opponent immediately recognizes that knife is the deciding factor of this battle right now. I've got to do everything I can to break that knife out of my opponent's hand. And in a sense, that's what we're talking about. Prayer is the deciding factor that spells the enemy's defeat, and he's going to do everything he can to break that out of your hand, to keep you from a husband and wife praying, to keep you from being a grandma praying, to keep you from being a single parent praying, to keep you from a young person that's praying and inspiring others to pray. I think one of the most exciting things in this church in 12 years is to see the young people fill the prayer meetings and inspire other young people to come. It's just one of the graces upon this church during this week. But prayer is the deciding factor. I was on the phone with a friend who's in a horrible spiritual battle right now. And as I was praying, as I was texting him and telling him I'm praying for him, immediately the Lord quickened me and I gave him this verse. And as I gave it to him, I thought, you know, this is for our whole church. Nehemiah 4:4, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who's great and awesome." Fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. I believe that's a word for our church. God is so great and awesome. Now's the time we need to fight for our church. Now's the time, our corporate home. Now's the time we need to fight for our homes and our families and our children. Verse 18, praying always, Paul says, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray always and to pray with all prayer? It could speak of group prayer, individual prayer. We're talking about all prayer, silent prayer. You may come here this week and just sit silent in the presence of the Lord praying. It involves shouting prayer. It involves singing prayer. You know, a lot of times in these weeks, the songs we're singing become the prayers that we're praying in one accord. Walking prayer. You may be led to walk and pray this week. Kneeling prayer, eloquent prayer, groaning prayer, constant prayer, fervent, heartfelt prayer, morning prayer every morning, evening prayer, a week of prayer. That's why we have prayer meetings every day here at the church. But you know, it's so easy to get to a prayer meeting. You have our church app. You just click on prayer meeting. You click on Zoom. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're in the prayer meeting. Saturday night, our prayer meetings have been powerful. Get the app. It's Saturday night. What do? I push prayer. I push Saturday. I push Zoom. I'm with 50 people from the church praying. This whole week, you get the app, you go to the, if you can't come, you get the app, you push fasting and prayer, you push the day, it's morning time you want to join, you push the Zoom, you're at the 7 to 8 o'clock prayer meeting with us. You know what my sense is this year? I sense that what Satan meant for evil, this may be the turning point of more people ever praying in our church. That this is the beginning of we're going to be able to, we could have never got here without this type of pressure, that we're going to be able in the future to hold prayer meetings here, and they're also going to be online and around the world. Beautiful that churches in France are joining us this week to pray and fast, and a whole group of them are fasting and praying with us. A whole group in Oregon are fasting and praying with us. A whole group from around the nation are fasting and praying with us. So it's prayer, always, with all prayer. And Paul says, in the Spirit. What does that mean, to be praying in the Spirit? It means that the Spirit's leading. We don't know how the prayer meetings are going to go. They're not going to look like they've looked in past years. This is a different year. It's in the Spirit. You know, we have a plan, but we run an option offense. At any point, you know, we might pitch out to another direction. So we're going to just try to lead this year the best we can. In the Spirit could also speak of, Paul talks about the gift of tongues. And if you don't have the gift of tongues, I would urge you to make this week a week that you press in and ask for that gift. Well, what a beautiful gift that is in your prayer closet. How incredible to be able to pray in the Spirit where, you know, you can only say with understanding so much, Lord, help. Help, I really need your help. Lord, really, really need. There's only so many words in the English language you can say. But tongues allows your spirit to pray. Oh, it is so powerful. Paul said it builds up your most holy faith. And Paul says, what then? Once we have that gift, do we only pray in the Spirit? Paul says, no, we pray with understanding. And then there's other times we just pray in the Spirit. Do I only sing in tongues now that I have that gift? Because I love to sing in tongues. No, Paul says we sing with understanding. We're with a congregation. Sometimes, I'll be honest, in the congregation, I'm singing in tongues. But Paul says we both sing with understanding and we sing in tongues. It's so beautiful when your spirit is singing to God. And if you don't let me ask you a question. Have you ever pressed in and asked for that gift? I find a lot of Christians never have. I would encourage you, press in this week. Earnestly, Paul said, earnestly desire the best gifts. Well, for praying in your closet, that's the best gift you can have. If you don't have that, press in. Ask others to lay hands on you. Ask others to ask for it for you. Okay, and let's read the last verse, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful. We're always watching what's happening in our home, our family, our marriage, our church, our nation. To this end, with all perseverance. That's what we're going to do this week. We're going to persevere in a week of prayer. Persevere would mean, I don't feel like going. I'm tired. That was enough. I did more than I thought of. No, persevere. And supplication, which just means requests for all the saints. We'll be praying not just for ourselves. We'll just be bathing each other in prayer this week. And look what Paul says, and for me. Well, I would ask that. Would you guys pray for me as your pastor? Just as I try to lead the week and lead our church, you know, anything can stop. Anything could start. Would you just, throughout the week, if you think of me, pray for me. If you think of our leadership, pray for our leaders to be leaders that are in the Spirit. I want to bring up a last verse of the morning that seems to go along with Paul, but now it's Peter speaking. It wasn't just Paul that sensed these things. Peter said, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. That's what we're going to do this week. Humble ourselves. And in due time, God will lift you up. God will use you. You know, that's inside of every one of us. We want to be used. We want our lives to count. I want to know what God laid hold of me for, that I could use that for him. I'm not just on this earth so I can hurry up and die and get to heaven. That's a sad, sad place the church is at. Like, just hope we can hurry up and die or the Lord will come so I can get to heaven. No, God has a work for you. And if you'll humble yourself, he'll lay hold of you. In his timing, he'll lift you up. And this humbling, like we're talking about this week, involves casting all your cares upon him, because he cares about you. And this humbling involves warfare. Peter, like Paul says, you got to stay alert. This is not a playground. This is a battlefield you've entered onto. You got to watch out for your great enemy. I always think it's so sobering when I hear things like Satan has a one-year plan to take me down. He has a five-year plan to take you out. He's a very patient foe. He's got a 10-year plan to remove and silence Pastor Rob. We better be alert. He's got a one-year plan to destroy your marriage. He's got a five-year plan to get his talons in the minds of your child. Better be alert. You better be watching. You have a great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, right? He's on the prey. He wants to devour our lives. And, you know, as we finish just acknowledging what Paul taught and Peter saying the same thing, that this is a week to be alert and watching and aware and fighting, there's just this word in my heart as we come to this week of fasting and prayer, that nothing allows the enemy the free rein to devour our lives like when we're not right with somebody. When you're not right with somebody, it's just fair game for the enemy to destroy you and them. I really believe the word of the Lord is this week, we need to draw a line in the sand. We need to put things that are behind us, and they're behind us, and they're not going to be brought up ever again. If you're not right with someone, get right with them this week. There's someone that comes to mind as we're closing the service and worshiping. you need to get right with them. Maybe someone that sinned against you that you need to forgive. Maybe someone you've sinned against that you need to make things right with them. Things aren't right. And man, when we humble ourselves this way, it spells the enemy's defeat. Why don't we stand up, Ryan? You can come back out. Interesting how the room temperature went from like cooler to warmer. Did you feel that? Like we were freezing earlier. I just sense a word from the Lord there. I mean, call me crazy. Is that not what's going to happen this week in the spiritual climate of this church? We're going to go, oh, Rob, you're out of your mind. I believe it's the Lord. We're going to go from cold to warmer and warmer and warmer. Yeah, I don't believe it. Okay, well, you don't have to. I believe it. I believe the Lord's going to do a great work. Let's pray and let's just finish here and just turn our eyes to the Lord. Ryan's going to lead us. And I think the song that we're going to sing, let's turn it into a prayer. Let's all with just one voice pray these things, one accord. Let's pray it for ourselves, for our church, for one another, our families. Let's just begin to sing intercession. And again, at the same time, I'd like you to just keep an ear to the Lord. Lord, is there somebody I'm not right with? That's not me just thinking. Is there someone I need to make things right with that the enemy is having a just fair game in my life because I'm not right with them? See if the Lord doesn't bring someone to your mind, even that you need to write it down because you're going to forget it or excuse it away, but I believe the Lord wants to speak to us. And a last question is, just as we're going to go to worship, are you right with the Lord? Would you ask yourself that? Are you, God, would you just bow your head if you're not bowing your head? Just ask that, God, am I right with you? Is there something not right? Ask the Lord that. Why don't you just even ask him to show you this week? Lord, if there's something not right, help me to see it. I don't know if you'd be willing to pray a prayer like that. I want to challenge you to pray it right now. Are you willing to pray a prayer? Lord, if there's someone I'm not right with, help me to see it. Pray that. If there's someone I'm not right with, that I could get right with them. And last of all, am I right with you, God? You know, it might be that the Lord wants to put his finger on something. It might be at the heart of your issue if you've not yet received the righteousness of Christ. You're not yet right with God because Christ's righteousness hasn't been put in your account. And you could ask him for that. Right now, you're here in person or you're listening online. Ask him right now. Say, Jesus, I receive your righteousness in my account. Maybe you've never prayed a prayer like that. Maybe you've never known that you're righteous before God because of what Jesus did for you at the cross. If you don't know that Christ's perfect righteousness is in your bank account, ask him to deposit that right now. Ask him to take away your sins, your debt. Maybe you could even pray that, God, I am a debtor. I have failed. Jesus, forgive me and put your righteousness in my account. If you've never prayed that, pray that now. Ask the Lord, Jesus, say, save me. If you've never said, Lord, take the reins of my life. I give my life to you. Pray that. Ryan, lead us. It's a corporate prayer. It's a praying in one accord now as the week of fasting and prayer has begun. Let's pray in one accord.